your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Metaphysical, paranormal, you know, all those things you've been wondering about. Are you ready to go deeper into the realms of the unknown? I hope you've got your walking shoes on, because life is an adventure, and this is the journey. Come on, let's go. Welcome to the show, everyone. It's Wednesday night, and this is the Journey Radio Show. I'm Jen Cruz, your host tonight, and we're going to be talking about Bigfoot documentaries with Bill Lancaster. And so, of course, I've got my fellow She-Squatcher on the line, Jenna Grover. Hey, Jenna, are you there?
Hello, I am here. Another exciting night.
Yes, I'm so excited for this show to get to talk to Bill about the Bigfoot documentary that he made about Bigfoot researchers called Cultured Bigfoot, and I hear he's working on a brand new project, which I can't wait to hear all about it. So let's bring him on and see what he's got to share with us tonight. Hey, Bill, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, ladies. How y'all doing?
I'm great. We're so excited you could join us, and I hear that Amy wasn't able to join us this evening, but I know that you'll do fine without her. But We will miss her anyway, so please give her our best.
I will. Yeah, she's got a little bit of a stomach bug, a little under the weather, so she was just reluctantly had to bow out. So she said, "I can talk enough for the both of us, anyways."
I believe that, though.
I knew that was true. I knew that was true.
Yeah, she said, "You do most of the talking anyways." And what's so funny is that my wife is the narrator of our films, and so you don't hear me at all. So anyways, but anyone who knows me knows that I'm not very shy, I guess.
And that's okay. And that's okay. So, you know, we met Bill in Frankfort, Kentucky last September at the CryptidCon convention, and we're going to be back there this September again, but we're going to be seeing you in person, I think, at the Virginia Bigfoot Conference at the end of the month, at the ECBRO, Virginia Bigfoot Conference. So check that out at virginiabigfootcon.com, and maybe if you're local to the area, you could come out and meet us. There's going to be a whole big lineup of speakers there. And Bill, you're going to be showing your film, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm actually going to be attending that. Might even make the little walk Friday night that they're having. They're going to have a walk, I believe, with Fred Caney. But yeah, we're actually going to be set up, and we'll have a table selling our DVDs and our poster art. And I believe at 8:30 on Saturday, June 30th, the first day of it, we'll actually be showing our film, do a little introduction, and we'll be showing it basically to the folks who attend. It's free to them. If you've paid to get into the place, you get to watch the film for free. And then we'll be doing a Q&A session afterwards. I think the Q&A might not just be me. I think it might be some of the speakers from that day also. I'm not clear on that. But anyways, there'll be a Q&A afterwards. So anyways, make sure and get you some of that Squatch Ale up there and hang out for the late show and then the Bigfoot talk afterwards. It ought to be fun. And I mean, I just chatted with Daniel today, Daniel Benoit, the guy who's organizing the event and running it and founder of the ECBRO, and it's really coming together. I give him props. He's really putting together a nice little conference, it would appear.
Yes, he's been working hard at it, and we talk with him often about it. And you know, I know a whole bunch of people have been giving him pointers about advertising that doesn't cost a lot of money and things like that. So everybody just wants him to put together a really good conference, and I think everybody's pulling together to try and help that make that happen. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah. No, you had another group that in Virginia that was trying to do one for a couple years, and it just kind of, it wasn't done well. And so we need something in Virginia. I'm in Bristol, Virginia. He's at the other end of Virginia. But we need something local to us in the state of Virginia that's actually, it says first annual, so let's hope it turns into second, third, and fourth, because it'd be nice to have something, because we all can't afford to go to, you know, Washington and Ohio and Kentucky for all of these conventions. And so, you know, and I know you girls are not down in this area, but I know you're coming to it. It would be nice to have something down in our area to just kind of grow and turn into another big gathering place for squatchers.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I haven't been to Fishersville, Virginia, but I came out to Norton in March, and wow, that was a nice area. And I loved all the Bigfoot-related places that you could visit there. That was a really nice little place.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is, Norton is featured in the film, as I wanted to show a community that had embraced the Sasquatch. They call it locally wood booger. And so I ended up speaking with a couple council members, the vice mayor, the director of tourism, a couple business owners, and just wanted to kind of show how this community has embraced it. And in turn, Andy Scott from Park Avenue Theater, along with the council, you guys, well, actually Jen came, Jenna didn't come, but got to come down. They hosted our world premiere big screen event at the Park Avenue Theater in Norton, which was a very neat little theater. And I said all that to say this, that next Friday, the 15th, they're having a week-long Best Friends Festival. And it's kind of like, I swear, I think it's in like its 80th year. It's something crazy like that, but I'd never heard of it until a couple years ago. Well, they've asked me to be part of the Best Friends Festival. So on Friday at 7 p.m., Park Avenue Theater and Andy Scott are going to be hosting the movie again as a free event to the folks that are at the festival. So I'll be set up down there around about 3 p.m. on Friday out front of the theater, selling DVDs and everything and talking to folks. And then we'll have the big screen again. So I never thought that this would actually make it onto the big screen, and now it's going to be on it twice, which is personally cool for us, because we're just regular folks. We are the true armchair researchers that decided to take my film and photography bug and do something related to something we were fascinated with. And so anyways, yeah, Norton's really embracing it. They've actually invited us to I think it's October 5th, the Wood Booger Festival, which is a festival that's been going since, I think, 2014, and it is nothing but about the wood booger. They even have a wood booger hunt up on Flag Rock. You went up there to the statue and everything. They actually have a wood booger hunt, and you can go hunting for the wood booger up there on High Knob. And so anyways, we'll be showing our film again. And of course, it'll be a whole lot more people interested in Bigfoot. So that ought to be fun. So if you happen to be able to make it down, that would be something, since you know the place and everything. You could come back down to the Woodburger Bar and Grill and get something to eat and hang out for the actual Woodburger Festival.
That would be fun. You know, they have that burger that's a challenge burger at the Woodburger Grill. And I was like, wow, that looks good, but it's way too big. And I said, there's no way that I could do that, but can I have a smaller portion of that burger? And they said, yes, it's not on the menu, but you can order a smaller version of it.
Well, you know what? You cheated then.
Because of the challenge. I just liked what was on it. And I said, hey, can I try that? And so I had, you know, just with one hamburger patty instead of however many it comes with, and I couldn't even eat half of one.
Yeah. Now, me and my wife had to try it, and we got one with the order of fries, and we just split it. And you're not kidding. It literally is, I don't know, it's like a foot high, and it has barbecue pork and queso and onion rings and it's crazy, but it's the Woodburger Burger. Raphael, I think it's Raphael Madrill. He's the owner down there. Super nice guy. It's a really neat place to go if you happen to be in there. And they actually have little cutouts where you can stand and get your picture made with the wood booger and stick your face through the hole and stuff. And so it's really neat. The town's really kind of embracing it. And it's basically what they did is it's a coal town. And if anybody knows anything about the coal industry, it's, you know, went way down. And so they were looking for a way to pick up, you know, on that cut, what I call eco-tourism adventure travel. And they did it basically when Finding Bigfoot came up to High Knob. It was an episode called Virginia is for Bigfoot Lovers. Because, you know, the saying in Virginia is Virginia's for Lovers. Well, the episode was Virginia's for Bigfoot Lovers. And they filmed a thing up on High Knob. And after that, a local hardware store, Home Hardware, started making Woodburger t-shirts, and all of a sudden the town went, hey, wait a minute. And so now they've embraced it, and it's become, there you go, and now it's become a whole little festival off of Finding Bigfoot coming in there and a couple enterprising folks saying, hey, this is a way that, you know, we've got all this coal equipment setting still around here right now. Let's try and find some other way of making some money. And that was just another fascinating thing, something you don't expect to find in the Bigfoot community. And that's why we concentrated on the folks in the community and the researchers and everything, because it was just really fascinating beyond the creature itself. The people were, you know, fascinating. So.
And that was such a great idea to do a documentary about Bigfoot researchers rather than Bigfoot himself, the star of the show, the Bigfoot, the big guy. Yeah. That was an interesting idea. So how did you come up with that?
Well, basically when we had decided, we literally had been listening to podcasts and reading books and watching every documentary we could and everything, and you see a lot of good and you see a lot of bad and all that, and we got to talking about the fact that, you know what, I bet you could make a movie at least as good as that one and maybe a little better than this one. And I'm not saying that we made a great, you know, award-winning movie or anything, but I felt like we could at least do what some of these folks are doing. And so I set about, you know, trying to do that and everything. And my wife said, well, what do you want to do the movie about? You know, we know it's going to be related to Bigfoot, but, you know, what do you want to do? And I said, well, I don't want to do, you know, chasing glow sticks around in the wood with FLIR and night vision and all that stuff, because it's all been done. The thing that me and her were fascinated about was literally when we went to our first conference in Virginia, up at Hungry Mother State Park back in 2016, I believe it was, August. Once we went to that and I came back home and got on Facebook and just started typing in Bigfoot, Sasquatch, there's this whole community that exists online between YouTube and Facebook, social media, that you had no idea. So the whole community exists there and everything. And we were fascinated at the fact that you've got this community out there around it. And I said, well, I want to, instead of doing the night vision, all that stuff, I'd like to do it and focus on the researchers and the people involved. And so I kind of had, you know, well, you know, I've got a few dream team members I'd like to get on it. And then I want to get all the way down to the boots on the ground guys. And so we set about doing it the right way, contacting folks. And I wanted, you know, to get Dr. Meldrum and Lyle Blackburn and see if I could get Clifford Bobo. And I had been watching Seth Breedlove's Small Town Monsters movies and was really learning from him, especially watching his behind-the-scenes stuff. And so I had a few of those names like that, but then I got to know some of these guys, like in the ECBRO and the New River Valley Bigfoot Organization and Bigfoot 911 and stuff like that. I'd gotten to know some of these guys and everything. And so I started asking these folks, would they like to be, hey, I've never made a movie before, but I want to make one about the community and everything. And surprisingly, Meldrum said yes, and Blackburn said yes, and Cliff said yes, and Bobo said yes, and Seth said yes, and Tracy Arnold, Sasquatch Outlaw said yes, all the way down to the boots on the ground guys, you know. And anyways, and so what me and my wife described as a glorified YouTube video turned into a full freaking feature-length documentary. And when it was all said and done, I had interviewed 23 different folks. And it was just beyond us. I was like, oh, my gosh, I've got like 6.5 hours worth of interviews. What do I do now? And so then that was the next challenge was, all right, how do we make this make sense? Well, luckily, my wife is the writer and narrator, she knows the questions we're wanting to ask these folks, and we've been following enough of them outside of the community before we found the community and everything that she basically, I would say, blah, 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 and she'd go, okay, this is what you want to ask. And so she knows how to ask it and make it sound like a good question. And when you see somebody like Dr. Meldrum smile and go, you can tell he's not been asked that particular question before. You knew you were doing something right. And when we started getting these responses on film, we were just kind of blown away. And so then, you know, we started it in March of 2016, and I think we did the last interviews around about September. And then we agonized for months trying to put it together. And come December on our kind of Christmas vacation, we seriously got into the editing and then started putting it all together. And an hour and 21 minutes is what we ended up doing. And if I ever decide to release some of the behind the scenes stuff, then I'll have a good Lord, a whole other 4 or 5 hours worth of stuff to put out there. But anyways, that was kind of the long answer of how we decided to do it about the community instead of just Bigfoot, because my wife's famous tagline was, we're not seeking the elusive Sasquatch, but the much easier to find Squatcher. And that hit the nail right on the head. And evidently no one has thought of that or done anything like that or cared to do anything like that. And so it seems to be a novel idea, and it's being well received. And we got it up on Amazon, and right before we got it on Amazon, Elizabeth Saint and Nick Groff from Vidi Space, that new platform on the internet, streaming platform that basically caters to cryptid paranormal, they ended up putting our film on there, which it's still on there right now. And that was kind of neat because we were the first documentary and the first Bigfoot thing on there, and we're still on there. So we weren't expecting that. We weren't expecting to have the reception we did. And so now we've been invited from the West Coast to the East Coast, North and South, to a bunch of different conferences over the next year to show and talk about our film. And we're just excited. We didn't expect this. And you know, we're not out to make $1 million or anything like that. We just hope that we can make what we put into it, traveling and equipment. We're having some modest success right now. And Seth Breedlove said one thing that really stuck with me. He's become a friend and a mentor through all this. And he said, well, I'm going to tell you right now, whether it does anything or not, how you measure success, he said, you did it where a lot of other people wouldn't do what you did. And so, you know, I see why people stop at YouTube. YouTube is easy to do. You go to turning it into a film, and everything that's involved, from the DVDs to the promoting to getting it uploaded and getting the right formats and stuff, oh my gosh, it was just, and I mean, I'm a self-taught guy. Other than I had black and white photography in high school when I lived in California for a few years. And then one of my first jobs out of high school when we moved back to Tennessee was at Old Mill School Portrait Division, where I was developing black and white film and prints for yearbooks and stuff. And beyond that, I've just been a photo bug, you know. So it was basically utilizing Google and YouTube and Lynda.com and all this kind of stuff like that. And I just taught myself how to make a movie and did a lot of networking with folks that were already doing it. Thomas Markham from the Crypto Crew and Seth Breedlove were the two biggest guys that Small Town Monsters, two biggest guys that I really regularly chatted with, and they gave me a lot of help and pointers.
That's awesome that they were so helpful with your project. And I got to say, for ourselves as the She Squatchers, when we've come into places where the Bigfoot community is, the other Bigfoot hunters, I can't believe how well received we are. They're like with open arms. What they want to talk, they want to hear what you found, they want to share what they found, and I love how they share with us so openly. And I just gotta say, they're some of my favorite people in the whole world.
And I mean, it was so fascinating to find you all. And I reached out when I was going to CryptidCon that I had seen you all were going to be there. And I was like, hey, a group of all female squatchers, we've got to have them in a film. So, but you're right. It's the community. And I mean, there's bad in every community, but we have made so many more friends, genuine friends. And I mean, I'm talking all the way up to people like Cliff and Bobo that people recognize and see on TV, and you find out that these guys are just nice guys. They're not some snotty superstar or something. I mean, me and Cliff, I know it sounds like I'm bragging or name dropping, but the first night that I met him at the Ohio Bigfoot Conference last year, I had already been talking to him and we had already set up everything, but we talked 20 minutes about Star Wars, not Bigfoot.
Oh, not Star Wars.
Yeah.
Well, I do have to put my two cents in. I agree with both of you. You know, ever since I've started doing this, I have not been able to shake how fabulous and wonderful, friendly, helpful, and just great people are in the community. I mean, I was shocked. I mean, I didn't know what to expect, and I was very, very pleased with the people that I met and am meeting, and even the people that are just interested in hearing our stories.
Yeah, no, there is. And I mean, I just interviewed and met a lady for our new film about a month and a half or two ago, came in all the way from Oklahoma. And I'll tell you, because I don't want to tell a lot of the folks that are in the movie, because I want it to kind of be a surprise as I get closer to it. But anyways, Arla Collette Williams, she's got a couple books out. I'm going to tell you what, she's just about one of the sweetest ladies that I have met in Bigfoot in a while. She was awesome. My wife didn't get to go for the interview there, but I told her, I said, you would like her. First of all, she would like her because she's a flip-flop girl, and my wife is a flip-flop girl. But it was just another one of those things. Here I met somebody from, you know, from Oklahoma in Harlan, Kentucky, to do an interview because she was going to be in town for a week or two and then was going to be doing a con up there. And she just was super, super cool. And so I'm really excited about the folks I've got lined up going into this next one. We're not going to do 23 people for this next one. We're going to keep it probably under 10 this time. And we're going to spend a little more time with each person. But we're trying to be a little bit smarter on this one because it just kind of got out of hand on the last one. And you know, when you have something, you know, like from Cliff or Bobo or Dr. Meldrum or Lyle or Seth or Richter, and you're literally having, you know, 45 minutes worth of golden nuggets these guys are just spewing out, and you need about 15 minutes in there or less. And it was just awful to have to cut it down like that. And so I don't want to do as much cutting, besides the fact that it'd make it easier, but I don't want to have to cut as much out. But anyways, I understand why they say a filmmaker puts a film out. It's never done. They just put it out. Because the version that made it out was the seventh cut. meaning I had literally went through and cut and edited it and rearranged and moved it. Me and my wife did. And that was the seventh version that that actually made it onto the Amazon video and onto DVD. And anyways, and finally, it was just one of those things. I was like, you know what, the heck with it. It's the first time I'm making a movie. If they don't like it, whatever. I'm done. I ain't doing nothing else.
You did a great job. I think everyone who's watched it is just happier than heck about it, because it was a great, great one.
I appreciate that very much. Me and my wife appreciate that.
I was impressed with the people that you had on there. I was like, whoa, you've got a lot of big names in there. That was pretty awesome.
Hey, no one was more surprised than us. It was, I mean, because literally, and I mean, I can reach back here and start pulling books out of the shelf here of, you know, this guy right here, and I've got his book and I've got it signed. Oh, and I interviewed him and he's in our film, you know. And but see, it was just, that was neat. And that was another reason, because I just literally had a cousin get a hold of me, and he had seen the film, and he said, why didn't you talk in it? Why weren't you in it? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, because we aren't the stars of the show. My wife narrated it and everything, but we didn't want to be the stars of the show, because I have those memories of being with those guys, hanging out, doing the interviews, asking those questions. Those will be there forever. Hopefully I don't get Alzheimer's and forget or anything, but anyways, those will be there forever, you know. But the one thing that really kind of bugged me when I was watching some of these other YouTube stuff and documentary stuff was these people were so proud to be standing in the same screen with this guy, and they wanted you to see that, and that just turned me off. Now, it may be cool for some other folks, but I didn't want to be that guy. And so I said, I'm not on camera at all. I don't. All I want is those guys. And as a matter of fact, you're not even going to hear me asking the questions. I just want my wife to lead it in with a narration, and then we get the responses. And so that's the way we do it. We don't want to be the star of it. Everyone will know Bill Koch Productions. They may not know me in the face or anything, but they'll know that's who made it, and that's good enough for me. I wanted, you know, the folks like yourselves to be the stars of it, and at the same time, we were hoping that more people would go to Sasquatch Outlaw YouTube page and go to ECBRO and go to She Squatchers, and, you know, especially these folks that are the boots on the ground. We were hoping it would be a discovery point for folks that were either in the field, new to the field, or not in it at all, so that they could actually, oh my gosh, there's a bunch of girls that do this too, you know. And I'm sure that there was a lot of folks that watched it that, and that's a good thing about Amazon, is you have such a reach. It's not just for, you know, paranormal or cryptid or anything. You have such a reach that you're going to have the occasional viewer come by that's just watching it and go, oh, well, that looks kind of neat, and I recognize that guy's name or whatever, and all of a sudden they're introduced to folks like yourself that they may not have otherwise done, because they're not going to go to a conference. But guess what? Now they'll probably try and go to a conference and try and meet you all.
That's really awesome, and we appreciate you including us in the film.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
We were pleased, too. It was really neat. And we had a good time hanging out with you all. That was a great little kind of after party there. If I get brave enough, I might actually do a little karaoke this time.
Me too. I am a karaoke queen. Ooh,
oh, she is. No singing. Okay, we're at the half mark of the show. We're going to have to take a mandatory 2-minute break. So we'll be right back. Stay tuned, and we'll be back with Bill Lancaster from Bilko Productions.
I'm Jenna Valadez with The Basement Files. Tune in Friday nights, 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
Is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the producer and host of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. I am a published author, academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast who holds 4 advanced degrees with an interest in parapsychology and life after death issues. I have written about and encountered nearly 100 situations involving the paranormal, with my most frightening experience being a floor-length mirror cycling around in front of me in a haunted room I had stayed in. I invite you to tune in Thursday evenings at 11 o'clock p.m. to 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time, right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
In order for the light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present. Tune in every Monday at 10 o'clock for Dark Sun Rising on the Para-X Radio Network.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. I'm Jen Cruz, and this is The Journey Radio Show. When we are not live on the air, you can find us at thejourneyradioshow.com or check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/thejourneyonradio. And hey, we're the She Squatchers. Check us out at shesquatchers.com and find us on Facebook at facebook.com/SheSquatchersOfficial. And remember, She Squatchers Official is also how you can find our YouTube channel, so check us out there. And tonight, we're on the line with Bill Lancaster from Bilko Productions. He's a documentary maker of that awesome new Bigfoot documentary about called Cultured Bigfoot. It's about the easier-to-find squatcher. So we're excited to hear more about the making of the film and the new project that he's working on as well. We're hoping he'll give us some little tidbits of gold nuggets about that. So welcome back to the show, Bill.
Thank you. Glad to be back. Glad to be here.
Yes. So I know that people are wondering, where can they see this if they're unable to attend the theatrical showings of it at the various conventions or at Norton, Virginia this upcoming week? Where else can they find the film if they want to see it?
Well, you've got three options. The biggest option is always the Amazon. You can go on there and search Cultured Bigfoot. And you can, you know, just find it right there. Right now it's available for streaming, rental, or download. Also, you can find it on vidispace.com under the cryptid community. You'll find us there. You can actually get a three-day pass on there, and you can actually watch all of the stuff in 3 days, and besides just my documentary. But you can actually go on there and get it. And then for the folks that are like me and you have to have that hard copy, we do have DVDs. Obviously, we'll be selling them at all of our conventions, but you can go to Facebook to our Cultured Bigfoot page, or you can go to Bilko Productions 1L Facebook page. And if you inbox us, basically you send me your email and let me know how many you need. I'll send them an invoice. And if it's paid by the end of the day, we send it right out. And we've sold quite a few DVDs just through that. We're not fancy. We don't have a website yet or anything. But so anyways, you can get the DVD by contacting us on Facebook, or you can rent it or download it on Amazon and Vidispace.
Wonderful, wonderful. And those are all pretty easy to use.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. I know people will want to go check that out. And, hey, we're in it. So you'll want to go check that out.
There you go. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. So now this new project that you're working on, mm-hmm. You want to tell us a little bit about it?
I will tell you. Yeah, I'll go ahead and tell you. I actually kind of let the cat out of the bag just a little bit, because we've actually created a Facebook page for the new movie. We're calling this our second in our trilogy, our Bigfoot trilogy. So there's a hint, there's a third one coming. But it is called Paranormal Bigfoot ? And we wanted that question mark because we're not just saying it's paranormal. We want it to be open-ended. Is it paranormal? Could it be paranormal? You know, all this. one of the things, and I know you girls know as well as I do, the further down the rabbit hole you go with Bigfoot, Sasquatch, Wood Booger, whatever you want to call him, the more unexplained stuff, paranormal stuff happens that is just, to be quite honest with you, if Bigfoot was paranormal, it would make a whole lot of the questions a whole lot easier to answer and go, oh, well, they can just disappear. Well, that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things that but the thing that kind of fascinated us is when you look at the Indian culture and how they consider them physical and spiritual. Well, if you take all of these different groups, they all overlap at some point, and whether you're flesh and blood or whether you're the woo crowd, there's at some point where a flesh and blood hunter says, well, I'm going to tell you, it was standing there 1 minute and then it was gone. And then two other guys that are just flesh and blood guys said, well, I'm going to tell you, it was there, and all of a sudden there were these orbs that were in the trees and stuff. And so you start hearing this stuff, and you're like, there's got to be something to this. So that is one of those things that absolutely fascinates me and my wife, and that's what we're doing, is we're trying to make movies that would interest us, and we assume interest the other folks. And so we're interested in that side from the folks that say that there is interdimensional, there's UFO sightings related to it, they're spoken of in the Bible, just kind of hinting at some of the stuff that's going on in this, folks that, you know, talk about them being related to, you know, particularly maybe how an autistic child would act, and that's why they sway back and forth, and why they're so well at hiding, and this and that and the other. And anyways, it's one of those things that the more we got into this, and then I started reading some other books, not just the flesh and blood stuff, but looking at the different aspects of it, it was just too fascinating to ignore. And so I ended up, again, going through the proper channels and reaching out to some folks who I was seeing on documentaries and listening to on podcasts and reading their books. And I was extremely surprised again, because, again, we're really nothing. No one except folks like yourself basically know about Bilko and Cultured Bigfoot. And I had folks saying yes again. And these folks were actually watching our film. And I had one guy, I sent it to him, a link to him, and in 15 minutes he messaged me back. And he said, I've watched the first 15 minutes. This is well done. I'll be in it. I want to be a part of your next one. I was like, wow, I didn't expect that to be that easy. And so I'm not saying we've got a masterpiece on our hand, but you have some of these folks that are actually now wanting to see what we did, and they're still willing to be involved in it. And so we're hoping to show, now we're moving beyond just the community and wanting to show the kind of sides of the community. And we're going to kind of do a juxtaposition of the basically your flesh and blood and your woo and your spiritual and your creature and your, you know, UFO and your, you know, all of that. We're going to try and kind of do a balance there, show, you know, it's just one of those things. I think you're going to come away with, after watching this next film, that as crazy as it is, or as silly as you want to think these people may be, there's several of them, once again, that have doctor and PhD in their names there too, and they've got everything to lose, including their reputation and everything. But when these folks are studying this and putting the work and the effort into it and saying that, I'm going to tell you, it'd just be a whole lot easier to explain a lot of the stuff that goes on with Bigfoot if it did have supernatural paranormal abilities, or they were dropping them out of UFOs, you know, or they were a government hybrid, you know. It is anyway. So it's something that absolutely fascinated us, and I absolutely wanted to tackle this one. And I'm just going to tell you, I wish I could share it, but I absolutely can't. some of the names, and I wish I could share. My wife has gotten about 6 or 7 pages of this written, and it's, I just think this is really going to be, besides I'm going to do a few different things film-wise and sound-wise, I think this movie is really going to be a good sophomore outing for us, and my wife is just hitting her stride in her writing, and the stuff that she's come up with, she's going to lead this story and tell this story into these folks talking to us, and I think it'll be absolutely fascinating, and what we're hoping is folks will want to see this movie, and then just like when I was discovered Seth's third movie from Small Town Monsters, I went back and checked out the first and second one and then bought them. And so what we're hoping is that, you know, maybe we'll build a little bit of a brand and folks will go, oh, well, there's something to these folks. Let's go see what they made here. And then they'll be looking for the third one, you know. So that's what we're hoping will happen is that, you know, we're both just self-employed folks with a passion for Bigfoot and all things kind of neat and unusual. You know, life's boring, so why not make it a little interesting? And so, you know, who knows, maybe we can, you know, do this half-time on the road making these little documentaries in the near future. But if we can't, we're having fun doing what we're doing now, so.
Well, you definitely have my interest. I can't wait to see it.
You know, we've experienced some paranormal things out there with Bigfoot. And I got to tell you, at one of the festivals that we went to, the people were really excited to talk to us and hear about the things that we've experienced. And I just started to share some things. And I had never heard the term Bigfoot woo before. Yeah. And they said, oh, you're Bigfoot woo. And I said, they said, you're woo. And I said, what? And they said, you're woo. And I was like, what do you, I don't know what you mean. And you're into the Bigfoot woo. And I was like, I'm not into the Bigfoot woo. This is what happened to us.
Yeah. It's funny because I had to explain to somebody, they're like, what do you mean the woo crowd? And I went, well, for lack of a better word, you know, when you say somebody's crazy and you go, woo, I said, the woo crowd, they think they're just crazy, but evidently the woo crowd has embraced it because they're like, you're woo or you're flesh and blood. But just like there's believers and knowers, is also the two crowds, you know, right. The ones that's had the sightings and the ones that believe in it, you know. So anyways, but yes, we're trying to show the woo crowd on this one here. And again, not in any kind of demeaning or we're trying to do it in a respectful way because we're fascinated in it. We have no reason to try and make fun of it. We're genuinely fascinated in it. And some of the folks that I've had conversations with over the last few months, I just don't. When you get to know these folks, you don't have any reason to think they're just feeding you a line. And none of them are really getting rich off doing this. They're having a lot of fun and, you know, doing it. But anyways, it's just fascinating. And so you can't ignore the woo crowd.
No, you can't. But it was really interesting the first time I heard that term. I was like, what? And so now we were thinking about what kind of T-shirts we should make up because everybody always wants to buy our T-shirts. And one of the T-shirt designs that I made up that we haven't printed yet is Bigfoot sitting by the woods and seeing people walking there and it little caption that says, to woo or not to woo? That is the question. Or Bigfoot's looking at the people trying to figure out, should I woo them or not woo them?
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of cute because it kind of goes along with my point is I don't think people decide to be Bigfoot woo. They have an experience that falls into that category that they can't explain.
Yeah. No. And see, that's how it is. They don't. And you're exactly right, because there's one guy, and I can't say right now, but this guy's been researching this since 1959. And he literally stumbled on the fact that, wait a minute, we're having a bunch of sightings, but at the same time, we're having these UFO sightings. and then we're having them like write together and stuff, and all of a sudden he wasn't intending to do that, and he knew what was going to happen when if he started saying, hey, Bigfoot and UFOs, you know what I'm saying? So he didn't intend that either, but you can't deny that there were a bunch of UFO sightings and Bigfoot sightings, you know, that end up correlating and happening, and it's just, you can't ignore it. And they realize the risk they run of it. You know, if you can be made fun of within the Bigfoot crowd, imagine the, you know, the fun they're making outside of it. So you've got double jeopardy there. You know, you've got just as much double face to get, you know, lose right there within the community and outside of the community. But anyways, you can't ignore that stuff. And this guy, I've talked to him several times, and wow, I mean, literally been doing it since like 1959. And he's just like, Bill, you just don't understand. You know, we could just do a whole film on nothing but this right here, you know. And anyways, who knows? Maybe one of our future projects will be, you know, Bigfoot UFO connection. I don't know. But anyways, it is absolutely fascinating. Something that I literally thought was kind of silly and crazy, you know, because you've literally, someone has said before, you know, they're dropping these things out of spaceships and whatnot. It's been on a podcast or something somewhere. And anyways, and I mean, even I'm trying to think which one it was, and I know I keep going back to Seth, but his movie Invasion of Chestnut Ridge, it hits on that, where there were Bigfoot sightings along with the UFO sightings and stuff. And so it's not an isolated thing. It's just not something that a lot of folks have talked about and shared, but it's kind of like I keep saying, it would make a whole lot more sense if there was stuff like this going on rather than just a creature that's really good at hiding in the woods. If they literally are being transported away, or they're, you know, face shifting in and out, or cloaking, or what, you know, it's one of those things. All those hard to answer questions, you'd have to have an open mind to believe all that's possible, but you'd all of a sudden you'd go, oh, okay, well, that makes sense. I'm not crazy. It did disappear.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, this last weekend we were on a Bigfoot expedition, and we had something happen that was very interesting. We decided we were going to employ some of our after dark equipment more than we've used it before, and partially because it was raining a lot during the day and at night it wasn't. So we were having to change our plans at the spur of the moment, but we had some reports of Bigfoot sightings, and so we were checking out these areas. And Jenna has a really cool unocular device that is really good night vision, and we can see pretty far away with it. And one of the Bigfoot sightings that was reported to us was in the middle of a boggy, marshy field where there's a grouping of trees. That it's all surrounded by this boggy, marsh wetland, and then there's a group of trees in there. And so we parked on the side of the road, and there wasn't a shoulder there really that we could pull over on. So we were still kind of on the road, but it was really late. Nobody was coming or going. And we just turned off the car. And so we're sitting there, and she's filming that area with the unocular. And, you know, I was not able to see through the unocular at the same time. I was watching the fireflies in the field. But then all of a sudden I started to see this light in those trees back there, and it would just come and go and come, and it was really bright light. And so she started to film that again where she could find it. And oh, wow. it was bizarre how it would just come and go and how it was moving in the trees. And it was a really bright round light that I could see clearly from a far distance away. And she was picking it up on the unocular, which was bringing it really close up. And then all of a sudden it seemed like something very bright went in front of the camera really fast and, made the whole screen white. And then the car, I had the keys in my hand. I didn't even have the keys in the ignition. The car, inside lights clicked on and off three times by themselves.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. And I honestly, I thought Jen did it, so I didn't say anything. I was just like, why did she do that? But I didn't say anything to her because, you know, why? You know?
And I'm like, what happened here? And then a car came from behind us around a curve and came. And I kind of took it as a, you know, you probably shouldn't be sitting here without your lights on. And
well, that just reminded me of the whole Close Encounters Richard Dreyfuss scene in the pickup truck with lights going on and off. That was immediately what I thought.
I didn't even remember that. I haven't seen that since I was a kid.
Oh, no. I own it and watch it regularly. Our one-year anniversary, for the first time in my life, we took an eight-day road trip, and our destination, final destination, was Devil's Tower. And, yes, I sat in the campground that it was the movie set for the internment camp that was at the foot of it. They turned it into a campground. And I actually sat there with the first night we were there, I had my laptop out, my Close Encounters DVD in, and behind my laptop screen was Devil's Tower. And I sat there and watched Close Encounters with Devil's Tower in the background. So, yeah.
That is so cool. I'm so jealous. Sorry I had to say that.
Oh, yeah, no. I want to go back. I've wanted to see that since I was a kid, and I have a very awesome wife who wanted to see it too. And our one-year anniversary, we went out west and went Mount Rushmore and Crazy Horse and Devil's Tower and Badlands and all that. But we ended up staying like 3 days just at Devil's Tower and hiked around it and all that stuff. And it was awesome. If you ever get a chance, I know I sound like I'm doing a Wyoming commercial now, but you ever get a chance, you have got to go see that. There's something about it. And the thing that's really neat is because the Lakota Indians consider it a sacred mountain and everything, they have those little prayer like claws tied in the trees everywhere, and they ask you, please don't bother these and everything. And that was really neat to see. And I don't know, it's just it's fascinating, you know, to be around that, you know. And then you get into the whole David Blaze and Boulder Fields things, and there's huge Boulder Fields around it, and I was afraid I was going to end up in a missing 411 book while I was there, but I didn't.
Well, we're glad you didn't.
Yeah. I used my red shirt on. They say, don't wear a red shirt. Those people are the ones that go disappearing, so, you know.
Well, Jenna, you can't be wearing your red checkered thing anymore.
Oh, darn it.
I usually wear bright pink. And
right there. Depends on if what's trying to get you is colorblind or not. They're probably going to consider bright pink red also.
Well, I'm usually just trying to be seen by the hunters, because a lot of times where we go looking for Bigfoot is on an Indian reservation that has no, it's always hunting season there. So yeah. The first time I was out in the woods without any bright colors on, my hair looks kind of like the same color as a deer, and they hunt from a pickup truck. Somebody's driving, and they stand in the back of the truck with their rifle balanced on the hood of the truck, and they shoot from the vehicle as it's moving. And that I see it coming. Huh?
That sounds real safe.
Yeah, I know. That's what they do up there. And, you know, I tell people, you know, when we find den-like stick structures up there, it's not a hunter for sure. All the elders agree that a hunter would never do that because they would get shot. And and I can tell you for sure, my great-grandparents got shot because somebody thought they were a moose, because they used to camp underneath their boat. They would flip their boat over top of them and use it as their structure for camping at night on the reservation there. And when they started to move their boat in the morning to get up, somebody saw it and they got shot.
Oh, no.
Because they saw their legs coming, you know, lifting the boat up, and they saw something. They thought that it was a moose.
Oh,
and it
wow.
was right out in the open.
Wow.
So, yeah, they got shot through the boat. So they lived, so that was okay.
I was going to say, that was horrible.
It was okay, but I know I wear bright colors when I'm in the woods up there. We aren't sneaking up on anything.
Yeah. We'll get you some blaze orange instead of the red or the pink. That way at least you won't get taken.
There you go.
Well,
have to go shopping.
Darn it.
Well, trust me, if you've got a Walmart around you, they got plenty of Blaze Orange.
Thank you. They do. We've really enjoyed having you on the show tonight, and we're looking forward to seeing you in person the end of the month at the ECBRO Virginia Bigfoot Conference, and we'll be there June 30th and July 1st. So we're looking forward to seeing you there.
Awesome. Yeah, looking forward to seeing you girls. I've seen you lately, but I haven't seen Jenna in a while. It's been since September of last year, so yeah, it'll be nice to see you all and hang out, and I'm planning on trying some of that local Squatch Ale while we're up there.
That sounds awesome. That sounds awesome. Yeah. Well, that's just amazing. Can you tell the folks again one more time where they can find your film so they can look for that and your Facebook page for the new one?
Vidispace.com, Amazon, and on my Cultured Bigfoot Facebook page, my Bilko Productions with one L Facebook page, and our new movie, Paranormal Bigfoot? You can inbox any of those if you want a DVD of the current movie. That's basically it. You got two streaming and downloading options, and then you got the DVD hard copy option through me. And we use Squaresoft system, Square Reader, if you know what that is. So it's a secure payment system that you can actually pay for it, and it's all good. And basically, if I get it paid, I send it out that day or the next day, depending on when they get it.
Yes, yes. And it's got a lot of good information in it, and I highly suggest that people watch Cultured Bigfoot. So find it on Facebook, find it on Amazon, on VidiSpace, or order the DVD and check it out, because it's a lot of good information from a lot of really awesome people. So I'm really looking forward to your next project. I can't wait. And here I have to wait because it's not done yet, but we'll wait, I guess.
hopefully between September and December is when we're hoping to make an announcement on, somewhere between September and December, having it out. That's what we're shooting for.
That's awesome. That's not too long to wait. We'll be so busy it'll pass by really fast.
And one of the conferences coming up, hopefully we'll be sharing a trailer for the new movie soon.
That's a great idea. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Bill Lancaster from Bilko Productions. And he's already created the documentary called Cultured Bigfoot. Go find it. And this has been the She Squatchers on the Journey Radio Show. Please tune in next week on Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, right here on para-x.com. Good night, everyone.